Good afternoon. I call to order the hearing in docket number 2845. It is approximately 1 p.m. on Tuesday, April 26, 2024. Today is the 16th. I am Cassie Brown, Commissioner of Insurance. This hearing concerns proposed adjustments to the Texas Automobile Insurance Plan Association's annual private passenger and commercial automobile insurance rate filing. TAPA submitted its filing on March 12, 2024, pursuant to Insurance Code Section 2151. The proposed adjustments would apply to policies on or after September 1, 2024. Notice of today's hearing was published on TDI's website and in the Texas Register on March the 19th. Written comments will be accepted until 5 p.m. Central Time today, April the 16th. First, I will call on TAPA to provide background and present their filed briefs. Any member of the public wishing to offer comment should fill out a witness card and submit it to the General Counsel staff, and then I'll call on you and ask you to identify yourself for the record. When you begin speaking, please identify yourself and your organization.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioner Brown and Ms. Barta and Ms. Bykowski. I'm Michael Jones. I'm with Thompson Co. Cousins & Myers, a law firm here in Austin, Texas. And I'm here today on behalf of TAPE. With me today are Matt Stevenson and Chris Burkhalter of the Burkhalter Group Consulting Actuaries. They have prepared the TAPE rate filing, and Mr. Stevenson will testify. Both are members of the American Academy of Actuaries and fellows of the CAFI Actuary Society. I'd like to also introduce present in the hearing room today are Stacy Dutton, who is the manager of TAPA, Bean Lease, who's the manager of operations, as well, David Weber is here. He's the first vice chair of the TAPA Governing Committee. In this filing, TAPA is proposing an overall rate increase of 15.0% for private passenger auto and 12.7% for commercial auto. This is the first hearing, the rate hearing, that we've had under the current statute, which requires a hearing if the proposed rate increase is more than 5%. And I think that statute came into being in 2013. In the past, our proposed rate increases have been 5% or less as a result of the actuarial indications themselves, or because TAPA purposefully tempered the rate proposal. And we did that in order to avoid the requirement of a rate hearing and the attendant expense that that involves. So, but now, you know, TAPA's rates are more are inadequate by more than 5%, so we have to have this hearing. Simply stated, our rates have lagged what's going on in the market. The average rate increase for private passenger auto insurance in Texas in 2022 was plus 23.8%, and in 2023 it was plus 25.5%. And I acknowledge there's a little bit of apples and oranges here because those coverages would include the comprehensive coverage, which TAPA doesn't write. It's just a private passenger, liability. But during this two-year period, partly because of timing and partly because of the pandemic, TAPA has taken a plus 5% overall rate increase for each of private passenger and commercial auto. So we're behind on our rates, and with that, I'd like to ask Matt Stevenson to come up here and summarize the filing and answer any questions that you might have.
Matt Stevenson, please come up and...
Thank you, Madam Commissioner. Thank you for letting me be here and for your introduction, Mike. I am Matt Stevenson, consulting actuary, and our firm prepared the rate filing for TAPA that we have submitted in support of this this filing. So I'm just going to talk you through it at a pretty high level. Everything that I'm saying today is really contained in the memoranda that were submitted with the filing. So if you've read those, you're already ahead of the curve. And then I'll be happy to take any questions that you may have about it. I wanted to start with a little bit of background about the way that TAPA has calculated the rate indications in the past and the filings that they've submitted. And I'll begin with the private passenger side. So In 2013 and earlier, TAPA undertook a very traditional actuarial rate-making technique of looking at their historical losses compared to their premium, making various adjustments that actuaries make to determine if the rates were adequate or excessive and determine the indicated rate change. TAPA has been shrinking considerably in size since that time, and it's been deemed that TAPA's own data is not credible to determine the indicator rates. Essentially, there's just not enough policies, not enough claims for it to be predictive of the estimated costs going forward. In addition, there's a certain amount of cost associated with performing that full analysis that's simply not worthwhile for the size of what the TAPA is writing now. In a way, a very good problem for an assigned risk market to have, but one that presents its own challenges for determining the appropriate rates. In those days when they were using traditional actuarial rate-making techniques, the complement of credibility that the TDI asked TAPA to use was this trend in the voluntary loss cost, whether it's from, there are a few different reports. The one we're going to cite today is from TECO, the statistical agent for private passenger auto in the state of Texas. So they would look at how much the loss cost, all you've lost cost and pure premiums today interchangeably. It just means the losses over the exposure, over the number of cars. They would look at the trends in 3-year periods or so and say that costs have been increasing, say, 5% annually. And that would be the value that is the complement of credibility. It would fill in the gap for where TAPA's own data couldn't determine the indicated rate. As time went on, that became the entire basis of the rate indication for TAPA on the private passenger side, a method that they were calling indexing, just keeping up with the entire voluntary private passenger market costs. So we have replicated that in this filing with a few adjustments that were necessary because the pandemic introduced some serious distortions in the private passenger auto claim experience. As I think we're all pretty much aware, people sheltered in place, didn't drive around, and claim frequency essentially dropped off a cliff and has since rebounded. So if we were to look at, for example, a 3-year trend, the most recent available data we have, by the way, ends in the second quarter of 2023. So if we're looking at a 3-year trend, we're going right back into the pandemic when claims were suppressed, and those trends are going to be very high as they rebounded to the normal claim frequency as people got back out on the roads. And that'd be true of any period, 1, 2, or 3 years. So we looked at longer periods to try to smooth that out. We also considered an alternate approach where we smoothed the claim frequency right over the COVID period and considered the actual severities and put those two values together to look at the trends. So at this point, I'll begin referencing the handouts that we've distributed. If anyone doesn't have one and would like to look at them, I do believe we have some extras. The first page is a summary of all of the rate changes, and we will certainly circle back to that. But now I'll flip over to page 2 and begin talking about these graphs that we're going to present, explain what all these colors and numbers mean. The first one we're looking at, as the label suggests, is bodily injury liability for private passenger auto. The two main coverages that TAPA writes are bodily injury and property damage liability. On the private passenger side, that makes up about 95% of TAPA's premium. So that's really where we're going to try to focus most of our time today. So what we're looking at here is the trend in pure premiums. Again, that's losses divided by number of cars, essentially. These annual trends in blue that you see are fit to every point on this curve, including all the points during COVID whenever claim frequency was down. So that 9.1%, 15.7%, 13.1%, that's what I was referencing when I said that if you look at a 1, 2, or 3-year trend, it's going to be a lot larger than otherwise because the beginning point was down in the pandemic when no one was driving. The red points there are if we omit the points during the pandemic, we simply ignore those and we fit our curve to the remaining points. That was one of the approaches that we used in order to try to get a best estimate of the actual trends and loss costs that are not distorted. And then the green values are what I was referencing where we smoothed the frequencies as though the pandemic didn't introduce this distortion and then compared it, we added in the actual claim severities and instead of these pure premiums. And so for some of the coverages we'll see, some of these don't make sense. Some approaches are better than others, so we considered all of this judgmentally when selecting one annual trend in loss cost for each coverage. For bodily injury liability, we selected 6.4%. I think in this one, relying heavily on that the smooth frequency version, which we think handled this particular coverage pretty well. And that translated into a rate indication for bodily injury liability of plus 25.9. I'll say a little bit about how we got there. Because this is an annual increase in claim costs, but TAPA has not been filing rates annually for a little bit. They stopped in 2020 as a result of the pandemic, filed one 5% increase effective June 1, 2023. So there's been a period of about 4.5 years where there was only one rate filing, and it was just for a 5%. So if TAPA had been filing rates annually at an increase of 6.4, we would have expected them to keep up with these trends in the voluntary loss costs. So we used that 6.4% annual trend for a period of 4.5 years to get the total increase in the costs. We accounted for that 5% increase that they took last year, and then what was left over is the indication that TAPA needs to raise their private passenger bodily injury rates by 25.9%. So that's the process that we followed for each of these coverages. If we flip over to the second one for property damage liability, you can see here a pretty stark effect of the pandemic. The story for property damage going into the pandemic, as you can see, was pretty steady. The claim costs not increasing or decreasing too much. That was a result of steadily decreasing claim frequencies while claim severities increased at about an offsetting level. And as a result, it was a very stable coverage. Then claim frequency began to decline, and since about the second quarter of 2021, the severities for this coverage have increased at a faster rate, which has driven up this graph over on the right-hand side, as you can see. That would tend to, I think, jive pretty well with what we all know about when inflation sort of took over in the economy, and specifically in construction costs. So considering all of these indicated increases or indicated trends, we selected an annual loss cost trend of 3.4% for property damage liability, which translated into a rate indication of plus 10.7. I'll say a little bit about the three lesser coverages that TAPA offers on the private passenger side. I won't spend too long on them since they make up such a small piece of the premium. Personal injury protection, claim severities have been fairly steady, slightly increasing while frequencies are down. And as a result, these indications are actually a little bit negative, and TAPA is not proposing any change to their personal injury protection rates. On the uninsured and underinsured motorist bodily injury, the claim frequency and severity have actually started to significantly increase lately. This graph really stands out as increasing the most over on this right-hand side. We've selected an annual trend of 12.5%, which translates into a pretty astronomic overall indicated rate change, but TAPA is only proposing taking 20% for this coverage. And then the final coverage on the private passenger side is the uninsured motorist property damage, which has seen a pretty steady uptick. That similar drop during the pandemic that looked very similar to the main property damage liability graph that we were just looking at. And here we've selected 5.9. I think that for the most part, you'll agree as we look through these, all the trend indications on the graph alongside our selections, that we made fairly conservative choices. One limitation of this methodology is that these are total limits, losses, and TAPA, as we've discussed, only writes minimum limits. We would generally expect the trends and minimum limits to increase more slowly than total limits. And as a result of that, we judgmentally sort of chose on the lower side of the different possible trends we could have selected. And whenever we considered a rate indication, for example, the bodily injury liability of 25.9, TAPA is only proposing a 20. Again, just leaving a little bit of margin in there, recognizing that this is not perfect apples to apples, but it is what we have to work with, and this is the same filing methodology that TAPA has used for basically a decade now, that was originally introduced by the TDI. So that concludes our private passenger exhibits. I'll go ahead and move into sort of the rate filing history on the commercial side before talking about the similar graphs, but slightly different. So in 2013 and prior, while they were doing traditional rate making techniques for the private passenger side, in commercial, TAPL was a subscriber to ISO, and they would simply, they had a loss cost multiplier on file, and they would adopt ISO's latest loss cost, and the TDI would calculate the rates. As once again, TAPL was shrinking, and the subscription fees for an ISO were prohibitive for TAPL. It didn't really make sense. And the alternate methodology that was taken at that time was to look at the, within the ISO filing, they had loss costs from the industry, and they were relying on those trends and thinking that they would be pretty stable and very consistent with what the actual loss costs were doing. It didn't quite turn out to be as nice as was hoped originally, and the loss costs jumped around a lot. They weren't particularly stable. Some smoothing approaches were attempted and ultimately not incredibly successful. And so with the 2023 filing, the basis for that 5% commercial auto increase was actually from the commercial auto biennial report that was commissioned by a House bill that changed the method for settlements in commercial auto liability insurance. Within that report, it was shown that over a six-year period from 2017 to 2022, the commercial auto rates had gone up in excess of 40%, while TAPA had taken about 19% over that same time, including the 5% that they took last year. TAPA has gone up about 24%, so still shy of what the market had done. That is subject to the same limitation that we're discussing on the private passenger side, where those are high limits, trucking risks, which is very different from the overall business that TAPA writes, which is minimum limits, and at this time, no zone-rated trucking, which is, we believe, largely because the truckers are required to bear higher limits to run their business. So TAPA is not really an option for them. So we wanted to come up with an approach similar to what we've done in private passenger that has been used for many years and accepted by the TDI to use on the commercial side. And we did manage to find within one benchmark report, a statistical report that all insurers submitted with their commercial auto results, we found some results that did contain minimum limits losses. So we said, all right, that's great. We're going to analyze these. They had a few hitches. One is that the exposure for commercial auto is not quite as clean, not simply one earned car year for a private passenger car. You have miles driven, you have employees. And within that file, probably most of the claims that were included didn't have any associated exposure. So that makes analyzing claim frequency really difficult. And we also can't come up with the pure premiums, which is what we were looking at for personal. So on the commercial side, we've just looked at claim severities, which kind of inherently assumes that claim frequency has been level. We're not making any statement on the claim frequency of commercial auto. One thing I did include in the memorandum is that within the biennial report for commercial auto, it was anecdotally referenced that rate increases are partially driven by increases in claim frequency. So to the extent that that's the case, the indications that we're showing for commercial auto will actually be lower than they otherwise should be. The other thing I would mention on the commercial auto results, the data source that we're using is that it's the 2022 commercial auto liability benchmark report. That includes data evaluated through March 31st, 2022. From claims that occurred in 2021 and earlier. And here we are looking at rates going into effect in September of 2024. So certainly some lag, and importantly, not including the peak periods of when inflation was really starting to heat up in the economy, which I think began in about April of 21 and peaked during 2022. Also, that valuation, March 2022, that data looked potentially anomalous to us. Some of the dollar amounts increased substantially in a way that I didn't think was necessarily predictive or would have been expected. So we didn't want to rely too much just on that latest valuation, which would have had a huge impact. That last point will always have a big impact on any sort of trend indication you're looking at. So the graphs we're going to look at are showing you two lines. The solid line uses all of the data available that's evaluated through March 2022. The dotted line limits it only to the data that's used, that's evaluated through March 2021, the prior year. So in this, the first slide, page 7, bodily injury, you can see that significant increase in the last point and the resulting trends. So if we look maybe even just at a five-year fit, a 9.8% annual trend as opposed to 8.6%, it has a pretty considerable impact. We've considered all of these points, mostly leaned on the dotted line that you're looking at without the potential distorted point, and we've selected an annual severity trend of 6.5. I believe that's the lowest number that you'll see on this graph. Once again, we tried to be very conservative in our selections. This is, though, I'll remind you, this is minimum limits, so we're not being conservative for the same reason as with private passenger, where we were looking at total limits. But that does introduce a bit of, I think, margin in the rate indication. On the next page, on the property damage liability, this coverage is significantly less impacted by that last point. So the trend fits are very similar between the two lines. We have selected 4.4, which is not quite the lowest, but near the lowest point that you see on that graph is the annual severity trends. We did effectively the same approach here to come up with the rate indication that we used for private passenger. We applied that 4.4% trend for the number of years that had passed since TAPA was doing annual rate filings. We again accounted for the one filing that was submitted last year, and that left us with the necessary rate that TAPA should take. The same is true on the commercial auto side of these three last coverages. They make up, I want to say, maybe about 10% of the commercial auto premium for TAPA. So a little bit more than personal, but not substantial. This one also, as you can see, is significantly impacted by that latest point. Everything from 2017 onward increases quite a bit if you look at data through 2022 as opposed to 2021. So we're relying more on that dotted line. We've selected an annual trend of just 1% for personal injury protection. That's not going to translate into it. Yeah, it translates to an indicated decrease once again, just like on the private passenger side. So TAPA is proposing no change for the rates in this coverage. And then quickly just going through the last two, the uninsured motorist bodily injury also very impacted by that last point. So we mostly focused on that dotted line and selected that long-term trend of plus 4.7%. And finally, property damage, not as impacted by potential distortion at the end there, but we've selected just a plus 5, whereas I think you'll agree if you look at all the different numbers there in the graph, all the fits certainly could have been chosen higher, but again, we chose rather conservatively. And now looking back to the front, we put all that together and you can see the indicated rate change for each coverage along with TAPA's proposed changes. So on the private passenger side, when we weigh all that together, the overall indication would be for 19% rate increase, while TAPA is proposing just 15%. The commercial auto, the indication is plus 15.2, and TAPA is proposing plus 12.7. I do think that there's certainly reason to believe if we circle back in a year from now and look at these, especially commercial auto reports, where we start to include that time when inflation was really raging, those claim costs are going to be increasing even more. So we may see continued indicated rate need. The approach of this analysis is by its very nature retrospective, whereas with ordinary rate making that we would do for companies, we're trying to project the costs in the upcoming year, what those are going to be. Here we are only looking at the increases that have occurred in the past. So TAPA is just catching up with costs in the auto markets that have occurred through 2021 and 2022. Everything that's happened since then would still be a deficiency in TAPA's rate. If auto insurance costs were going up another 20% during 2023, we wouldn't have captured that yet, and TAPA would still be deficient in that sense. That's the approach that has been used in the past and sort of what we've been forced to take given the limitations and the available data. So I could say more, but I'm happy at this time to take questions.
Thank you, Matt. I do have a couple of questions. So what is the breakdown between commercial and personal auto assignments for JFAP?
So in terms of written premium, the best information that I think we have, and I'll say a little more on what I mean by that, it's about $1.5 million for commercial and $1 million for personal. The TAPA-specific data that we get all comes from different statistical plans where companies report all of their information, and they have an indicator for voluntary and assigned risk. And especially on the personal side, each of those reports that we've gotten has, what I believe, some holes in it. For example, the quarterly development or quarterly experience report, which has been the source of the rate filings that we used in 2013 and prior, that's only showing about $100,000 in written premium on the personal side for TAPA, whereas we think it's closer to $1 million. We think there's considerable amount of data that's not reported there. A lot of that may be expected because only the top percentage of some of the 80 or 90% of riders in the state are required to report for that plan. But I do think that in discussion with some representatives at TDI, we determined that there's a company or two who should be reporting that maybe hadn't been, so we can help fill in that hole in the future. And then another report was determined that they don't report non-owned autos, which are a decent amount of the premium that's being written out in TAPA. So that report showed personal auto premiums was in the $700,000 range. So still maybe only about 70% of what we believe to be the actual personal auto premiums for TAPA.
And then you kind of alluded to this, but what type of commercial auto risks have applied to TAPA in recent years?
So from what I'm seeing, it's a lot of what they call van pools. I believe ambulances are a common risk. The way the commercial auto liability report breaks down is into rate groups that they call trucks, publics, and then all other. And a significant chunk of TAPA's premium comes from the all other category, so it doesn't offer an enormous amount of description.
And then on the private passenger auto personal injury protection, the current indicated rate change is a -15%. The proposed is 0%. What has been the historical trend for indicated rate changes for PIP?
I would have to look back at the indications for that particular coverage. I don't happen to do that, but I do not know that off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly can. Yeah.
All the questions I have.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Those are all of the comment cards that I have. Does anybody else wish to provide comments or ask questions? Thank you, Matt.
Thanks so much.
So let the record show that all those who have written comments have done so. TDI will accept all written comments received by 5 p.m. Central Time today, April the 16th. I will issue a decision after considering the record of today's hearing and any written comments that were received by the close of comment period. Thank you for participating today. The hearing for docket number 2845 is adjourned. Thank you.